Facebook lost face recently in a scandal that exposed how it has compromised the private data of its users. What is involved here are millions of users whose private data were compromised for political partisan advocacy in the last U.S. elections. And no less than Mark Zuckerberg, the owner and founder of Facebook, had to face the U.S. Senate and House and issued an apology. Mark Zuckerberg described Facebook as, quote, the best guardian of consumer privacy. And because of that, he managed to secure some exemptions from regulatory rules. But now he has acted, or Facebook has acted, opposite to what it claimed. It will take a lot of refurbishing to regain that confidence. And yet, that is the sad consequence of turning one's claim into its opposite. Now, there is something more tragic than that. While that is serious in the case of Facebook, what is more tragic is when one's claim of faith in Christ is turned into its opposite. Kapag ang inaangking pananampalataya kay Jesucristo ay nabaligtad at nagamit o bumigay ang umaangkin sa bagay na baligtad sa kanyang pananampalataya, mas malaking trahedya ang bagay na iyan. In the New Testament, this is called apostasy. The word apostasy, as I've explained, does not mean one's loss of salvation, but it means that one who professes to be a believer may turn his back to his professed faith, but there are warnings against such a possibility. And none is more replete with such warnings than the letter to the Hebrews. And as I've explained before, Hebrews is written to Jews who became Christians, but because of sufferings, many of them were turning their back to their faith in Christ and were going back to Judaism. And the writer wrote this letter, among others, is to encourage them to see in Christ the perfection of what they believe in the Old Testament, instead of going back to the shadows of the Old Testament. Why should they do that when they have the perfection in Jesus Christ? Now, that is the summary of what the writer is arguing in this letter. Now, with that argument is a series of warnings in the book of Hebrews. Warnings about turning back. Warnings about going back to the old ways. And as I've explained, these are warnings that should be taken seriously by all believers, those who think, since salvation is not going to be lost, why should I take it seriously if I consider myself a true believer, is approaching this issue in a logical but wrongly oriented way. The right way is to consider those warnings as alert signals. When we are beginning to be cold in our faith, when we are beginning to decline in our spiritual life, we must take those warnings very seriously. However, amidst the warnings, there are assurances that the writer gives, and he concludes these assurances with one of the best benedictions we can ever read in the whole Bible. And with this, we shall conclude our brief series. Turn again to Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as I've already quoted, Albert Mohler considers this prayer as one of the most beautiful prayers ever uttered by a Christian. Isa ito sa pinakamagandang panalangin at nakatindig dito ang katiyakan ng isang sineseryoso ang mga babala. Ngunit kahit pa niya seryosohin, mayroon siyang katiyakan because of what the words in this benediction remind him. So the benediction's first invocation is, "May the God of peace who brought from the dead our Lord Jesus." While the warnings can breed anxiety, no one can read this warning seriously without being disturbed. However, the invocation is, "I know the God of peace." And for as long as we know and are in communion with the God of peace, we can have assurance even while we take seriously the warning. But for what is the invocation of the God of peace? Well, the answer is in the following words: "To equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight." And I suggested that this is a very good summary of Christian living. Unfortunately, this is a language that is well nigh absent in the vocabulary of Christians today. They love to talk about blessing. They love to talk about being happy in Christ, but they do not talk so much about obeying God's will. But here is the summary of Christian perseverance, and that is obedience to God's will. Obedience to God's will is the substance of Christian perseverance. Ang talagang laman ng nagpapatuloy na Kristiyano, ang nagpapatuloy na buhay Kristiyano, ay pagsunod sa kalooban ng Diyos. Kaya kung naghahanap ka ng masayang buhay, pinagpalang buhay, mabunga, ngunit walang pagsunod sa kalooban ng Diyos, naghahanap ka ng isang bagay na hindi ibinibigay ng Diyos. So we must consider obedience to God's will as the substance of Christian perseverance. Now we conclude with this important thought, because the benediction concludes with the ultimate purpose of the Christian's perseverance. And my message is, the ultimate pursuit of Christian perseverance is the glory of Jesus Christ. Ang ultimong hinahanap ng nagpapatuloy na Kristiyano ay ang kaluwalhatian ni Jesucristo. The ultimate pursuit of Christian perseverance is the glory of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you have heard, many of you have heard of the Declaration of Independence by the United States in 1776. It is one of the most influential documents in history, and in that document are those very influential words that we are all endowed by our Creator in inalienable rights, and those inalienable rights, according to the document, our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now that's how this document defines a good life. A life that is free is that it is free to pursue happiness. Now that may be a good definition for liberty. Not good enough for Christianity. Kung ang hanap po lang ay maging masaya, ang hanap po lang ay maging magalakin sa iyong buhay, ay masyadong mababa sa tunay na dapat hinahanap ng tunay na mananampalataya. What is defining of the Christian life, the writer says in his benediction, is, "To Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So what is the pursuit of the Christian is the glory of Christ. And here we can say a serious Christian can take warning against apostasy seriously and still be assured. So warned but assured if he is seeking the glory of Jesus Christ. Now two things that I want to draw from this. First is the temptation of Christless motives. May tukso na mga motibong wala si Kristo. Temptation of Christless motives, and secondly, commitment to Christ-centered glory. Pagbibigay ng sarili sa kaluwalhatian ni Kristo. So these are the two things we must consider in our Christian pursuit to persevere. The first, there is always the temptation of Christless motives. The enemy's ultimate objective is to make the believer fail in perseverance. In other words, if possible, a person should be restrained from believing. If he fails, he will try his best so that that believer may be restrained from the truth. And if it still fails, our enemy will do the one last card he has, and that is to keep us from the right motives. So keep you from saving faith. If not, keep you from the truth. And if not, keep you from the right motives. There are motives to Christian living that are not as compelling as the glory of Christ. Yan ang tandaan po natin. May mga motibo na hindi sing lakas ng motibo na hanapin ang kalawalatian ni Kristo. Some motives are definitely sinful, and they can surface in a very subtle way in Christian duties. One can be exercising Christian duties, but deep beneath is a selfish and carnal motive. Christian service has been done and exercised by many for material and financial gain. And I've encountered men in the ministry who are supposed to forget all these things, and yet their mindset is about material gain, financial gain. Apostle Peter has a very clear warning against that in 1 Peter 5 verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Huwag kang maglingkod, lalo't ang mga naglilingkod sa ministeryo ng salita, huwag ninyong isipin ang pakinabang na tinawag ni Pedro na kahiya-hiya. Kapag yan ang umiiral sa isip, it is a shameful gain. If you are to do it eagerly and willingly, go away any financial motives in the ministry. It is also possible to exercise oneself in a Christian duty because it advances personal reputation. And that happens. You know, people who are not there when Christian duty requires them, but then they are called to exercise their gifts. And suddenly they are there because they have their gift that they can display. And that too is a sinful motive. And we are doing the duty we are doing because of personal reputation. Consider and examine yourself if any of these sinful duties may be surfacing unknown to many. But there is one other thing that is even more subtle than the actually sinful motives. There are motives not sinful in themselves, but inferior. May mga motibo na hindi kasalanan, ngunit mas mababa kaysa hanapin ang kalawalatian ni Jesucristo. Now, one may do his duty because it lightens his conscience. You know, may mga gumagawa ng tungkulin nila, maaring pagdalo sa simbahan, sapagkat kapag hindi sila dumalo, bumibigat ang konsensya nila, nagigilty, sinasabi natin. At para wag mawala, para mawala ang guilty feeling, dadalo ng panambahan. Now, it is not wrong to do something in consideration of conscience. Remember what Luther said in the Diet of Worms, it is not safe to go against conscience. So conscience is a consideration, and that is something we should not consider sinful. But that is too low. That is too base for a Christian motive. Some duties may simply coincide with one's personality. I told you about that last week. Here is a Christian who enjoys company, naturally. And so he is in every fellowship activity as much as possible, but it is not out of obedience, but because he simply enjoys it in a natural way. So there are many forms of this motives that may not be sinful in themselves. Some do their duties to avoid shame from friends or brethren, to please people, perhaps to please their pastor, or to feel good And these are things, as I've said, may not be sinful in themselves. But what is wrong with these motives when they are the motives that propel you? For the most part is, as in the case of Hebrews, they do not last when sufferings mount. Kapag nagsimulan ang paghihirap, ang mga kabigatan, ang mga pasanin, dala ng pananampalataya, bumibigay. Kapag ang motibo mo lang ay konsensya o ayaw mong mahiya o kaya ay natural sa iyong disposisyon, Jesus warned against that in the parable of the sower and the soils, one of the types of hearers. He warns against in Matthew 13 verse 20 and following, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." Ayun, nagalak sa salita. Gusto niyang marinig ang tungkol sa kaligtasan. Gusto niyang marinig ang maging anak ng Diyos at marami pang pagpapala sa isang mananampalataya. Ngunit walang ugat, hindi lumalim ang kanyang pakikinig. Nakinig lamang siya para sa kanyang pakinabang. Anong nangyari nang dumami na ang mga paghihirap, mga hamon ng kabigatan? Bumibigay. And that is why we should not be satisfied with weak motives. You know, every engineer here knows that one requisite in construction projects is the strength of materials. And they know how to go about it. There are formulas and there are policies that they must follow. And you can look at a bridge and think that it is very matibay, but then kapag dumaan na ang bigat na hindi nito kakayanin, ay may mga pangyayari na sa mundo na mga bagay na hindi maganda dahil sa the engineers have tried to go the short way to avoid the requisite of strength of materials. And that can happen in terms of motives. If your motive is weak, it will not last when sufferings and challenges come. So I challenge you, examine very honestly the motives that compel your Christian living. Suriin mo ng napakatapat. Anong motibo ang nagpapakilos sa iyo, sa iyong buhay Kristiyano? There is something said of God that we do not take seriously enough, but we should. And several times in scriptures, but I'm choosing Proverbs 21 and verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Consider that. The Lord weighs the heart. In his eyes and in the eyes of others, he is doing right. He's in the service and he is doing what others are doing when the song is announced and he sings with the rest. When prayer is announced, he bows his head and closes his eyes. In other words, he goes through all the paraphernalia and motions of worship. Nobody can fault what he is doing. The Lord is looking at the heart. And what heart will meet the Lord's searching? Yan ang ating ipanuri sa ating sarili. What motive are we doing, are we having for what we are doing? The heart is behind the duty. And while the rest of us can only look at the externals of the duty, the Lord looks at the heart. And this is the reason why the heart defines a sinner at his most deceitful. Jeremiah 79, "The heart is deceitful above all things." A wrong motive can defile the purest acts. Just as much a pure motive can sanctify a deficient act. Mas nagagalak ang Panginoon sa gawaing may kakulangan at sinasabi natin ay mali yan, hindi yan ayon sa aking reformed principle of how to approach God, etc. And we can say all the rules. But when God looks at the heart, He is satisfied with that which is done with a pure motive, even if short on rules. Whereas this reformed Christian who follows all the rules may do it without flaw externally and yet be of deficient heart. And that's what the devil will try to do. If he cannot hold you back from the truth, then he will give you orthodoxy. And even consistency of obedience for as long as he gives you the wrong motive. That's why every one of us should really pray the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me. That's the point. Inside me. Look there and see if there is anything wrong. C.S. Lewis gave insight into this in his Screwtape Letters, a series of imaginary letters by a senior demon teaching a junior demon how to tempt Christians. And in letter number 4, he said this, the senior demon said this, the simplest way is to turn their gaze away from him, that is from God, towards themselves. Keep them watching their own minds and trying to produce feelings. And there's the scheme of the devil. Gawin mong abala silang isipin, ano bang pakiramdam ko? Parang hindi tama, hindi ko nalang gagawin. O kaya, ito ang gusto kong damdamin, masaya, nagagalak ako. At ito ang masasabi kong tama ang aking ginawa kasi masaya ang aking damdamin. And what C.S. Lewis is suggesting, if the devil can succeed in giving us that preoccupation with our feelings instead of gazing upon Christ, then he has the victory. So watch against the temptation of Christless motives. Kung merong mga motibo na umiiral sa iyo na wala si Jesucristo, buksan mo iyong puso sa pagsisiyasat ng banal na Espiritu. But then the second, the positive of this is commitment to Christ-centered glory. So the invocation of the God of peace and doing His will is so that we can have Christ to have the glory forever and ever. So the glory of Christ is the most excellent pursuit and compelling motive for the believer. Ito ang pinaka mainam na hinahanap at pinakamalakas na motibo para sa isang mananampalataya. And do you know that no less than the Father has that pursuit? The only other place where you have these words forever and ever in the letter to the Hebrews is chapter 1, verse 8. Where it says, of the Son, He, the Father, says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. So what stands out here is that the Father is addressing the Son, and the Father Himself is occupied with the glory of the Son forever and ever. No less than the Father Himself is after the glory of His Son, and the wonder of wonders is that He is sharing this with His children. As much as I seek my Son's glory, seek His glory. And in this, we have the same pursuit. And this is the way we approximate God, by pursuing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I've said, pursuit of happiness, as in the Declaration of Independence, may be good enough to make you a free man, but not a Christian. And yet many Christians today think Christian living is all about being happy. Now, they may attribute it to Christ, they may attribute it to God, but really their preoccupation is to have a happy life. And that's the bane of this present generation, to be so pampered in seeking their own happiness. And this explains many fixations on trivialities, because people simply want to be happy. And happy for some means the pulsating pleasure of easy sex, To others, it may be being fixated with the wonderful things of computer games and video games. Whatever it is, whether immoral or just a game, that's where the devil will push us to a fixation as long as it can drive us away from fixing our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the glory of Christ gives more than just the joy of what to live for. It gives you something to die by. That's what makes it motive. Why do you think those people in history more willingly had themselves beheaded or burned or drowned and many other ways of killing themselves rather than give in to what their persecutors wanted? It's because for them there is more joy in the gallows suffering for Christ than to give in to what people want. In other words, they found something in Christ, not only one to live for, but one to die by. In fact, the writer tells us that in his so-called Hall of Faith, Hall of Famers of Faith in Hebrews 11. After naming many of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, he went to generalities of people he no longer could name, but he says in 11:35, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Eh, yun ang dahilan. May nakita silang dahilan na mabuhay, ngunit hindi lamang mabuhay, sapat na po na motibo na mas piliin ang mamatay kaysa mabuhay nang wala ang Panginoong Hesu Kristo. Somebody said, when life is defined as pursuit of happiness, it soon erodes into happiness of pursuit. In other words, no aim, no object, is just the sheer activity and preoccupation that makes one's life have some sense without pursuing something. It's just happiness of pursuit. After the Second World War, many Japanese soldiers, especially in the Philippines, did not know the war was over. And they kept fighting a war that assists. Ang tawag sa kanila yung mga strugglers. And in fact, as late as 1975, the last struggler surrendered to then President Marcos from Mindoro. Buong buhay niya, akala niya lumalaban pa rin siya. Pero wala nang laban, wala nang gera. E ganyan ang buhay ng marami na walang talagang hinahanap na layunin sa buhay, pero abala sila sa kung ano, hindi nila malaman. No defining aim in life. For the Christian, I challenge you, immerse yourself in the glory of Christ that applies to your earthly pursuits. It is a wrong notion, corrected in the Reformation, that the glory of Christ is only seen in the church or in the convent or in the priesthood or nunnery. No, the Reformers said the glory of Christ can even be in a dairy-made milking cows to the glory of God. So you have the glory of Christ where you are at. It is waiting for your discovery, for your realization. Sometimes you are called to reveal it by speaking of him or his words where no one else would. It may be revealed when you are reputed for having a pleasing personality and being friendly as a Christian. But also, there are times when his glory is served when you have to say no to the propositions of the world, to say no to the propositions of unbelievers. Even when it is so inviting, you think of the glory of Christ. How can I return such a sin against the Christ who died for me? Even when every fiber of your emotion for young people is yielding, there is the glory of Christ to seek. And his glory is served when you reject proposition that pander only to emotion. This is where everything in our text converges. The God of peace, equipping us to do His will, now they are put together by seeking the glory of Christ. Listen to Paul in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours. Why? Many stop there and take this like a blank check. Anong gusto ko? Hingiin mo lang sa Diyos, ibibigay sa'yo. Well, it says, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It is the man seeking the glory of Christ Jesus who have such access to God that what he really needs, the Lord provides. God's supply, His equipping is never deficient. It is rich, but intended for the glory of Christ. In one of C.S. Lewis's letters, where he was instructing a young Christian on praying, not just praying, but praying for bad people, because it was then the Second World War, and he was instructing someone who sought his counsel, how can I pray for my enemies? How can I pray for bad people? Listen to his answer. A continual grasp of the idea that one is only joining one's feeble little voice to the perpetual intercession of Christ. Sinasabi niya, isipin mong ang boses mo sa panalangin ay sumasama lamang sa panalangin ni Jesucristo. And that gives prayer a sense that is not there if you only look at it as a duty to maintain, as something that you need to do, but rather one that joins the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the defining motive of the believer. When he has to struggle with sin, there is the God of peace, a reconciled God. And he must define his Christian living as one of obedience to God's will. But what ties it all is the pursuit, the motive. And that motive is the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure we all agree. This is the whole thrust of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is attractively glorious. He is better than all the Old Testament priests and sacrifices. We are often so short-sighted of this, and this is the time we refresh the truth that Jesus is glorious. Because He is glorious, there can be no more compelling motive and pursuit for the believer than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the point of our last hymn, where it says in the second verse, O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but Thy pure love alone. O may Thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, and my crown. All coldness from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought, be love. That's the compulsion of the motive of Jesus Christ, and His glory is it possesses you inward and makes your life one that is real perseverance with the defining motive of the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. O nakilala naming Diyos, aming mahabaging Ama, nawa nga ay magkaroon kami ng motibo na siyang pinakamalakas para sa isang mananampalataya. Napakarami ang pumapalibot sa amin upang bigyan kami ng motibo na maaring makasalanan ang gawin ang aming mga tungkulin ng dahil lamang sa personal na pakinabang, ng dahil lamang sa aming reputasyon, nawa ay tanggalin namin ang mga motibong ito. Gayun din naman ang mga motibo na maaring hindi kasalanan, subalit nagkukulang pa rin dahil wala si Jesucristo. So grant, Lord, that we may take seriously the examination of our motives. May we take seriously the fact that while every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He searches the spirits. And however faultless the externals may be, the heart may be occupied with a wrong motive. And grant, Lord, that we may be honest about that. Instead, grant us that commitment to Christ-centered glory, especially the thought that you, as the Father, you are yourself occupied with the glory of the Son. And it is in this that we become most one with you in heart by seeking the glory of your Son. So help us, Lord, immerse ourselves in the glory of Christ that applies to our earthly circumstances. May it be a warning to those who may have a very shallow pursuit of happiness as their goal. And they may define that happiness in terms of wrong relationships or trivialities. But whatever it is, Father, nothing can even match, can come close to matching the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, once again, we pray that through your word, reveal him to us for what he is in his glorious and attractive holiness, that we may see the beauty of his holiness and learn to do our Christian tasks even when sufferings mount, by doing it so that Christ may be glorified. Forgive us for our sinful motives. Correct us when our motives are base and low. And grant us, Lord, to rise higher in our motivation so that it may become the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.